It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and I want to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope you are enjoying the weekend, doing something with loved ones. This is a weekend when we remember those who have served our country and have made sacrifices, sometimes the ultimate sacrifice, for our freedom and for our well-being. And I think the operative word this weekend is to remember. Remember. What would it be like if you couldn't remember, if your memory was not there? Couldn't remember. You know, a couple of weeks ago on this show, I talked about my mom on Mother's Day. Yes, it was a couple of weeks ago. And I reminisced about all the great times I had with my mom, who passed away just around Mother's Day of last year. So it's been about a year. We celebrated her in the last week, her memory. And I remember, and I'm using the word memory and remember quite a bit today for good reason, and you'll find out in a minute, but I remember as my mom got older, her memory gradually got worse, and she knew it. It was frustrating to her because she would say to me, I can't remember. Even though she knew who everyone was, she was good in the moment. She could have a good conversation. But sometimes I would say things and she just couldn't remember what she had eaten the day before or where she had been. And she used to make a joke because my grandfather also had problems with memory. And he used to say all the time, after we got home from an event or a party, he would say to us, did I have a good time? And that was something that my mom remembered and laughed about. She used to say, as she started losing her memory, did I have a good time? Always thinking about her father, who gradually lost his memory. And boy, was it frustrating to watch my mom as she had difficulty with memory. I was thankful that right to the end, she knew who I was, who her family and friends were, and was able to have a conversation. But the memory thing was such a difficult pill to swallow. I thought about memory and what it would be like to lose your memory as you get older. And it's really not only fascinating, but really scary. Really, really scary. And today, I want to focus here on Gervie's Law and KBC Radio. I want to focus on how to preserve memory and prevent memory loss and Alzheimer's disease from affecting you as you get older. If that is possible, if you can, our guest today is the person to explain how and why preserving your memory is so important. Robert W.B. Love is a neuroscientist. He's a researcher and educator who focuses on helping people preserve their memory and prevent memory loss. And he utilizes science behind brain chemistry. He has a huge following, as this is a subject that intrigues so many and is important to so many people. His handle is at Robert W.B. Love, Robert W.B. Love. His TikTok messages and videos often go viral. He is quoted and he is respected for what he has to say about preventing memory loss and Alzheimer's disease. I believe Robert probably can identify with my story about my mom and my grandfather, because I think he probably experienced it with his grandparents, getting him interested in the subject as so many people are. Robert, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to be here, and I'm very sorry to hear about the loss of your mother a year ago. That sounds like a very sad, poignant memory.
It has been very difficult, and thank you for that. It has been more difficult in the aftermath than I ever had anticipated because of family differences, unfortunately. But through it all, my mom had a great life, and she was loved by so many, and I loved her dearly. So that is some consolation. But experiencing her memory loss was very hard, not only for her, obviously, but also for those who loved her. How did you get so interested in this important, important subject?
So like you and like many, many people, like millions of other Americans and people around the world, I had a family member with Alzheimer's disease. I had two grandfathers with dementia. One grandfather had Alzheimer's disease. The other one had dementia unspecified, which we think was he was a dry cleaner. And we think that it was because of his exposure to dry cleaning chemicals that he had memory loss.
That's interesting. I just want to interrupt there because, you know, I've been practicing workers' compensation law for over 30 years, and I've seen all kinds of cases that people don't typically think that there's a connection between what you do on your job and an ailment, an injury, a disability that you suffer from. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Have you done some research into some of the jobs that people do and how they affect not only the memory, but cognition and the brain?
Well, specifically the worst, which you probably know of, are shift workers, night shift workers. These people have an increased risk of all-cause mortality, which is death from all causes, because they're not sleeping well. And if you're not sleeping well, that will impact not only your brain, but pretty much every system in the body. And so that's the most, that's the hardest one, generally speaking. Outside of that, the way I want people to think about this that's most helpful is what is your exposure? What is your exposure to potential toxins or neurotoxin?
Right.
Which is a fancy way of saying things that are toxic to your neurons, which are cells in the brain and throughout the body that communicate important messages. And so this could be someone who people who used to work in aluminum smelting factories, had a high exposure to fluoride. These people had problems with their bones. It's called osteofluorosis. People who spray glyphosate, which is Roundup. There's court cases happening right now about increased risk of cancer. And my guess is, the data's not in yet. My guess is that people with high exposure to glyphosate will also have an increased risk of dementia, but the data is coming in on that. So those are just a couple of examples.
And those are cases that I have had, a lot of exposure cases. And it's really frustrating to hear people and their experience, especially workers who have done the same job for 20, 25, 30 years and have been impacted in such a negative way with memory and cognition, brain function, and they don't realize it. And employers don't really take the time to focus on safety and well-being of their workers. As long as they get the job done, they certainly don't seem to care about how these kind of toxins and chemicals that these workers are exposed to affect them. But
absolutely. And then on a larger level, corporate responsibility. I mean, it's amazing how many companies are willing to sell products and services that, one, either harm their workers in the process and or, two, harm the end user.
Right.
So sugar is a great example, right? There's plenty of companies that are willing to sell products that are high in refined sugar, even worse, high fructose corn syrup, that we know increase the risk of type 2 diabetes, and that's a major risk factor for Alzheimer's disease and early death. And so people are willing to make money knowing that they're harming the end user. And then many companies are willing to have products and services that expose their workers to to risk that might not be proven yet, but it's certainly a suspicion if they're large chemical companies. Have you seen the movie? I think it's called Blackwater. It's about a lawyer in Cincinnati, Ohio, who helped basically get the EPA to regulate what are known as forever chemicals, which are chemicals from industry that ended up in our water, ended up hurting their employees. It's really, really important. Really important for safety.
I haven't seen it, and I think that's what I'm going to do this weekend because it sounds fascinating. And what you say rings so true in the real world that these big corporations can get away with it. It's swept under the rug. And there is a lot of knowledge. I mean, there's certain movies, the concussion movie regarding NFL football players, you know, that bring to light what these corporations, what these organizations knew and should have disclosed. I've had a lot of cases with PCBs in the classrooms and especially in local areas here, and how things were covered up when the administration of schools knew about how PCBs and other chemicals affected their workers and their students.
This is happening at the school level, at the school district level.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, when you mention corporate responsibility, it's something that is not focused on at all in this country, and it really should be. And the reason why, and I'm going to digress right now, is about money. There's no question that these corporations have the money to cover up, to avoid having to, having to be responsible to not only the public, but also their employees. I don't want to get into this. I want to get back to what you were talking about before, because we're going to get to the number one health trend in 2024, which this all ties together. This is from Robert Love, and he's going to talk about what he has been focusing on and what has gained a lot of publicity and a lot of momentum in terms of addressing 2024 health trends. Before we get to that, I just want to get back to your personal experience with your grandfathers. Tell us what it was like as you were exposed to memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's with your grandfathers, how old you were, and how you became so committed to addressing this to the general public, and also probably to memorialize, using that word again, your grandparents and grandfathers, in terms of giving them the respect and love that you obviously had for them to help others, to make sure that others realize what can happen as you age.
Absolutely. I want to give people a quick action they can take for helping corporate responsibility is to vote with your dollars. Spend money with companies that are doing the right thing. Stop spending monies on companies and products that are harming you and are doing the wrong thing. Companies respond to that. Walmart now carries organic food because people demanded it. So vote with your dollars. That's the most effective way to enact change. You know, the change starts with us, as I think Gandhi said.
Well, that's a great message. And by the way, I appreciate you not interrupting me because I know that was pertaining to what we were talking about just before I started with your grandfathers. I'm glad you got that message in. And that's a message to everyone. Sometimes there's something that's so important that you get in, even though the subject has changed a little bit. So let's not forget about what Robert just said about voting with your dollars and being conscious of corporate responsibility. Now move on to what you were going to say about your personal experiences.
So my family. So I was about 7 years old when I was about seven when my grandfather died. And I don't know how hard it was on my father because I wasn't aware at the time. But I remember there was nothing he could do. And I wasn't able to speak with my grandfather. It was very strange to me to talk to be in the room with someone who basically didn't have their mind. It would just sit in a chair. And then when my other grandfather got dementia, I was a teenager, and I had a good relationship with him prior to his diagnosis of dementia. And the way it came about, I'm sure many people will identify with this. He was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. He worked into his 80s, very hardworking man, his formal education stopped at middle school. He dropped out of school to start working to help support his mother when his father left home. So someone I really admire for his honesty in his work and how hardworking is what he was and his ability to raise a family without an education. So he's working late in life and he ends up having a fall. And after the fall, he was diagnosed with cancer. And then shortly thereafter, he started losing his memory. This often happens with so point number one, I want people to know it's really important to prevent falls, because falls not only can increase the risk of traumatic brain injury, which is a major risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, but falls will also require our body to help repair itself, and frankly, most people have cancer inside of us and our body fights it off. When we get an injury, when we get really sick, our body diverts resources to address the new thing, the new illness or injury. And so that's when cancer can pop up. And so please, please, please avoid falls at all costs, especially if you're over 60, because most of us know people who've had a significant fall and they haven't been the same, either because they hit their head or some other lingering disease kind of cropped up when the body diverted resources to heal itself.
You know, it's interesting you note with your grandfather how he was a hard worker, very smart, very bright, and this changed his life. When I watched my mother, and she was a brilliant woman, very smart, you know, and I think of people like Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who also suffered from dementia, a brilliant woman, learned woman. You think maybe the fall has an impact, but why do people lose their memory in other situations where perhaps they haven't had a fall or some change in their body medical condition, and they were underlying it just very smart and very with it, with great memories throughout their lifetime?
Yeah, this is the $1 million, or Big Pharma would say the multi-billion-dollar question. Why do people get Alzheimer's disease when they're healthy, when they don't have type 2 diabetes, when they maybe don't even have a genetic risk, and when they have a great memory? How does this happen? And the reason is Alzheimer's disease is the most complex disease in the most complex organ of the body. It's not one thing. It is many things. There are at least 40 risk factors for Alzheimer's disease, according to Dr. Dale Bredesen, a medical doctor from UCLA, who is basically the person who cracked the code of Alzheimer's and discovered and has publicized. It's not just one thing. Alzheimer's is not one thing. It is at least 40 different risk factors that work in combination in unique ways in different people that can lead to loss of cognitive function, that can lead to memory loss, that can lead to Alzheimer's.
Interesting. You know, my mom used to say it's kind of like Russian roulette with respect to who suffers from it and who doesn't, which she probably wasn't entirely correct. I think that was kind of a way to rationalize it. But what you're saying is that there are things that you can do to stave it off, to prevent it, at least to address it, based on your research and your education. You came out this year saying that the number one health trend in 2024 involved chronic inflammation. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I want you to talk for a few minutes. We only have about 7 more minutes, but I want you to talk for a few minutes on how people can address this health trend that clearly will have deleterious consequences on their health if they don't address it.
Absolutely. And then before we go, I want to make sure I give people some free resources or some resources they can access, because this is a really important conversation. I want them to have access to the science on this. So inflammation is a major risk factor of Alzheimer's disease. The Framingham study in Framingham, Massachusetts, which is a longitudinal study that looks at people over decades, found that your level of inflammation at age 40 predicted your risk of Alzheimer's disease at age 70. So that means Alzheimer's potentially starts 30 years before symptoms manifest. And a major risk factor of Alzheimer's disease is inflammation. Inflammation is also a risk factor for many chronic diseases, including type 2 diabetes, some forms of cancer, pretty much any chronic heart disease, most things you don't want, your risk is increased if you have high levels of inflammation. And unfortunately, because of the standard American diet, which is aptly named the SAD diet, standard American diet, this is a highly inflammatory diet with refined sugar, bad fats, fried foods, processed foods that lead to inflammation in the body. These foods are very unnatural to us, evolutionarily speaking. Our ancestors traditionally ate wild plants and sometimes meat if they were fortunate enough to be able to hunt effectively. And we've replaced that with grains, which are new to the human diet as of about 10,000 years ago. And as of 50 years ago, you probably remember this, our food supply in the United States has shifted to highly processed foods where they're taking, you know, gluten from processed wheat, and they're adding that with some stabilizers and some really powerful sweeteners, and then mixing that with some other artificial ingredients, and that's food. And our body responds to this with inflammation, and so our diet is very inflammatory, our lifestyle is very inflammatory, and so one of the best things we can do to help reduce our risk of Alzheimer's disease and improve our health overall is to reduce inflammation. And we do this, one, by improving our diet, and then two, improving our lifestyle with good exercise that we enjoy, because otherwise we won't do it, good sleep, and then good relationships. You understand this. Relationships are not just about what feels good in life and what's really important in life, which indeed they are. It's also about our health. I'm sure people listening to this remember a time when their relationships weren't good and their health suffered.
Right.
Your health, our health, is directly related to the quality of our relationships. So frankly, if I could give one recommendation to everyone, it is to really value and treasure your close relationships, share love with the people you love, share and receive it sincerely. And that will have a tremendous impact on not only our stress levels, which you'll feel in the immediate moment, but also our long-term health.
You know, I think it's so important, but you don't just say it, you have to do it. And I'm sure you'd agree with me that there are strategies that you can use to improve relationships, like letting go of anger, letting go of resentment, trying to be a bigger person. Clearly, there are so many stresses in relationships that we all encounter. And you have to have strategies, and you have to be able to feel good enough about yourself and not insecure to let things go so that you can focus on everything that you're talking about, not only the relationships, but eating well, sleeping well, and exercising.
Yes, yes. Let's start with one thing at a time. Whatever's most impaired in your life, it's probably sleep or diet or exercise or relationships. Whichever one of those could use the most help, start there. Exercise might be the most powerful, because when you exercise, we're more likely to eat better and sleep better. So just get 10, 20 minutes of exercise that you enjoy, whether it's a walk, whether it's a jog, or whether it's playing tennis. Our research shows that people who play tennis have 7 to 9 years longer life than those who are inactive, because tennis is fun. It's also social, and it's good exercise. So find exercise you enjoy. You'll then make healthier food choices, because you want to eat healthy, and then you're also going to sleep better. And all of these things can help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, Robert, in the last few minutes, I want you to address a couple things. First of all, you mentioned the resources that you want to provide our listeners. And also, I want you to talk about how people can follow you and all the messages that you are giving out that people will find very important and interesting for their own lives.
Fantastic. So first, I'd love to offer some free resources. If you go to, so all of my social media is free, and I have at this point over 1,000 videos on this topic and on improving health that you can access for free on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. If you simply just search my name, Robert Love, spelled just like it sounds, Robert Love, on TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook, my stuff will pop up. I have over 1 million followers on each of those, so just look for the account that has over 1 million followers, and then just please watch some videos, and I hope those are helpful to you. This is another resource, which is really exciting. A new book just came out. It is called Reversing Alzheimer's and is by a top researcher in the field, Dr. Heather Sandison. She has reversed memory loss and dementia in clinical trials. She has published her data, and she is sharing that data and the specific steps you can take to help improve your memory and reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. She shares that in her new book called Reversing Alzheimer's, and you can get that on Amazon right now. You can pre-order that. That is going to, this is what I would call, this is the beginning of the reversing Alzheimer's movement. People are doing it. The science is now clear. Alzheimer's can be prevented. It can be stopped. It can even be reversed. And these are all lifestyle changes. This is not about taking drugs. This is about diet, exercise, sleep, supplements, reducing stress, improving relationships. And so please, if you can afford $28, please invest in that book.
It's probably the best investment you'll ever make. Now, in the last minute here, you talked about your grandfather's. What does it feel like now to be kind of a TikTok star and people are reaching out to you, a guru in this area? Did you ever envision that?
I feel so blessed. You know, I want to thank God for the grace to be here, because I did not earn this. I was really fortunate that I said the right things at the right time, and God put me in the right place to get this message out to people, and people liked it, and then it kind of grew on itself. And so I'm not responsible for this success. So a power greater than me is responsible for this, and so I just want to acknowledge that.
Robert,
it's so humbling.
It's humbling to have you on the show, and I want to thank you for all the great messages. Keep it up. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. And again, the key word there is memory. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. And thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.